closet shelf beside the paper towels and disinfectants. I left the mop bucket to the sink and fill it, pour in the Lysol, and head down the hall. Professor Wardlaw's office door is open, but she's alone. I think about last month when Professor Kurovich gave me some books for Carrie. When I came back up the hall, Professor Wardlaw was in her office talking to Professor Marr. Nadia doesn't realize that he'll just turn around and sell them, but better the flea market than the outhouse. I mop the foyer and put the caution sign back up. I get my broom and dustpan and sweep the stairwells, then empty the bathroom trash cans and clean the toilets and sinks. When the 3:30 bell rings, the last classroom's empty, so I sweep them. Since tomorrow's a holiday, most of the faculty's gone home. I get out my master key and empty their trash cans. When I get to Professor Kurovich's office, the light's still on. She's been at the college only since August, and all her family is in Ukraine. Sometimes we talk about how hard it can be when you're separated from your loved ones. I knock, and she tells me to come in. "How is Carrie?" she asks, saying the name so the first part's longer than the last. "She's doing fine," I tell her. "Less than a month now." I nod as I empty her garbage can. "Not so long," Professor Kurovich says and smiles. I ask about her family. She tells me her mother's home from the hospital, and I tell her I'm glad to hear that. I thank her again for the books and close the door. By the time I've done all the offices, the hall clock says 4:20. I check the bathrooms the last time and punch out. There's a note tucked under my windshield wiper from Ellen saying she's working till 5. I think about going over to the cafe and having a cup of coffee, but decide to wait in a truck. Sometimes I'll find a magazine in a trash can to bring home, but I don't have anything like that, so I look over the books Professor Kurovich gave me. 3 are about teaching, but one is called Selected Stories of Anton Chekhov. I open it and start reading a story about a man whose child has died. He tries to tell other folks what's happened, but no one wants to hear it. So he finally tells his horse. You'd think a story like that would be hokey, and maybe it is to some people. But when Ellen gets in the truck, she asks if I'm okay. She says I look like I've been crying. Before I can answer, Ellen raises her hands to her mouth. Carrie's fine, I say quickly. It's allergies or something. Ellen's hands settle back in her lap, but now they're woven together like she's saying a prayer. Maybe she is saying one. Carrie's fine, I say again. You'd figure it would be soothing that she's made it this long, Ellen says as I pull out of the lot. But the closer we get to her coming home, the scarier I am. I put my hand on her shoulder and tell her everything's going to be fine. When we pass in front of the quad, we both check the clock. A bunch of folks came in for early supper and Alex asked me to stay, Ellen says. We'll be on time, I say. I did make an extra $9 just on the tip.